A Wednesday Lenten Sermon, preached by Reverend Richard A. Rem at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on March 25, 1998, in the series Songs in the Night, entitled When the End is Near. The text for the sermon is Psalm 31. Copyright Grand Valley State University.
One doesn't often get to prepare a sermon in the concrete experience of life, but such was the case for this meditation, since already today I have preached at a funeral service. It was just last week that I announced that there had been a malignant tumor discovered in Ruth Swartz that was to be removed, they hoped. And then everything unraveled and the surgery never took place and Ruth died on Sunday morning. And so it was as though I were preparing a meditation on when death is near, when the end is near, that I was tangibly engaged in walking with a person, with a family, through the valley of the shadow. And so I was mindful throughout the experience of the fact that this evening we would gather and would consider a song in the night, when the end is near. The meditations were set already in January, and so sometimes there are wonderful coincidences in life, or one might say providences in life, because there's no better way to be prepared to think about the nearing of the end than to walk that way, as has been my experience this week with one of our people and with a family who surrounded her in those last days as the end neared. We don't always get that chance. Not all of us will have the opportunity to sing a song in the night as the end is nearing. I also announced last week the sudden death of Dr. Glenn Benord, who was buried last Friday, and learned of his story, being engaged in some ministry and a trip that he had long wanted to make to Guatemala with a brother-in-law who was also in the medical profession. And according to his brother-in-law, Glenn, on a mountain following a hike, in a moment's time, experienced as it were a seizure, and he was gone. And no form of resuscitation was ever able to bring, even for a moment, one spark of life. Fortunately, Glenn was one of those who so lived every day that he was always ready for the end. But there's a contrast in experience. Some of us will be in the case of a Ruth Swartz, and it may be a week or a month or a year over which that shadow lies across our life, or it could be in a moment for which there is no time to sing a song in the night and to ready oneself for the approaching end. But die we will, all of us, and so tonight, a beautiful song in the night, Psalm 31, the song of one who was deeply conflicted, but who in verse 5 uttered those words that have become indelibly imprinted on our minds through the experience, the death of Jesus. Into thy hands I commend my spirit. And those words, as I said, are indelibly imprinted on our mind in association with Jesus' last breath. Luke's picture, at least. The last word from the cross, according to Luke, was the expression of trust, of total trust, of ultimate commitment. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And so we think of Psalm 31, verse 5, providing Jesus with that dying expression of trust. And we think of those words in terms of death, the final exit. But as a matter of fact, those words are not about one who was dying, but about one who was living. Psalm 31 is not the expression of one who was living under the shadow of death. He certainly was one who was conflicted. If you read the psalm, you know that it's a psalm of lament. And certainly he had all kinds of trouble. He had enemies and persecutors, and he was suffering great anguish, and he felt peril and threat. And so to that extent, he was one who was living on the edge, but he was not one who was in the approaching end experience of life. He was in the midst of life, in all of the difficulties of life. And so it's interesting that those words that have become associated with death were really words that expressed a way of life. And I think that's a very interesting fact, because it is really only when into thy hand I commit my spirit is the posture of our life that they can be the words of peace at the end. It was not as though Jesus had grasped for some word of scripture, some word of light or hope, some manner in which to make his exit, and grasped onto those words, because they were words that were always associated with death, the final passage. No, they were words about a posture of life. In the midst of life, in the midst of conflict, the psalmist lived with a daily ration of that kind of conscious commitment. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. He was in trouble, but in the midst of his trouble, the psalmist says, you indeed are my rock and my fortress. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Take me out of the net. He's intending to live, to go on. He's looking for rescue, to be sure, but in order that he might go on to life. And he makes his plea on the basis, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me. The psalmist is saying, as it were, I put my life at your disposal, O God. My life is at your sovereign disposition. My dependence, my helplessness, my need, I yield to you. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Into your care I place my life today and tomorrow and throughout all my days. And that being the case, it becomes the kind of trusting expression that is available to a person also when the end is near. The interesting thing about that phrase is that it was the manner in which a Hebrew child said his bedtime prayers. Into thy hand I commit my spirit was for Jesus what for me was, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. I've confessed here before with some embarrassment that having learned that as a child, having been taught to pray at my bedside from earliest years, when I came to a point of composing my own prayers, and I'm even again a little embarrassed as I admit this to you, after the composition of my own prayer, I always concluded, now I lay me down to sleep. What a childish thing to do. I was already an overgrown kid. But it was so deeply woven into the fabric of my being, and it was such a powerful shaping, forming of my life from a child that to this day, now I lay me down to sleep, for me, is not a child's prayer, but a profound prayer with which to close every day. And then you see, if it has shaped us and spiritually formed us, so it is as natural as breathing to come to the end of the day and to say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray thee, Lord, my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. Then of course, when the end is near, with one's last breath, one will say, I pray thee, Lord, my soul to take. That's what was happening with Jesus in the portrait of Luke. A Hebrew child said his prayers. Into thy hand I commit my spirit. And the dying Nazarene in the anguish of his crucifixion simply picked up his bedtime prayer and said, Father, into thy hand I commit my spirit. We probably will die the way we live. And to live in trust will be to die in trust. What if you were not as fortunate as I was to have been brought to my knees from early childhood with such a prayer? Well, it's not as easy, I think, because we do know from developmental psychology, we do know about fundamental trust, that is that lacing into the fabric of the being of the youngest child, that capacity to trust. And where one in childhood has been denied that experience of being able to trust, I don't know if it is ever fully recoverable. But of course it is still always an open possibility because God's Spirit can move upon the one who is open and hungry and yearning. And thank God it is not as though to have missed it in childhood. It is not possible to appropriate it later on. But even to say to appropriate it is wrong, for finally, is it not true that trust is a gift, huh? What more can we do than to be open to it, longing for it, open in mind and heart for the gift to be given, the miracle to happen, the trust to come in place? I received a letter from someone. It's anonymous. This is a miracle of technology now, email stuff, where I know somebody's label or handle, but I don't know who they are. But it was a very good letter, questioning, asking for help, saying, I know I'm supposed to believe, I'm told to believe, believe in the resurrection, believe in Christ, believe in the Trinity, believe, but I can't believe. How can I believe what I don't believe? And of course you can you? Person says, am I supposed to take my brains out? I'm full of doubt. I have questions. Can you help me? Well, belief is not an achievement. Belief is not an accomplishment. Trust is a gift. And how fortunate we are, those of us who have been initiated into that trusting environment from youth on, from childhood on. But thank God, the Spirit of God still is able to bring to one the gift of trust, where there is the readiness for it and the openness to it. And then, what would I say to this person? Well, I would say to this person what I would say to you if you would say to me, I don't have that trust. I would say then to that person, and I would say to you, don't worry about it. As we gathered in the little office in critical care Saturday afternoon, when the decision had been made that Ruth Swartz should be taken off the ventilator and should have all of this maze of wires and tubes removed so that she could once again have some measure of humane existence before she died, I gathered with the family and with the doctors, interestingly, and simply said to them what I'll say to you. I came to this church many, many years ago, and at a moment like that where the end was near, would have sought so desperately to have some squeeze of the hand from Ruth that she was trusting Jesus. And now I know that it's not really whether she was trusting Jesus. It was that God had her in His hand. The trust that gives peace is a very great treasure. But the deepest truth And maybe it's the truth that becomes the entree for the gift, is the realization that it is not my grasp on God, but God's grasp on me. That I can trust. And so I'll end my every day in sickness and in health, in failure and success, in light and in shadow, with the words, Father, into thy hand I commend my spirit. And then, when the end is near, it will be as natural as breathing to say, into thy hand I commend my spirit. Isn't that the way we would all breathe our last? Isn't that the way we would be assured that those we love are breathing their last? Just simply trusting. Not as our achievement, but as our assurance that we are in God's hand. He's the good hands person.